Parshas Vayera and Chayesara. Our subject today is the nevuah that was given to Avram in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, and its implications, many questions about it, and also the story of the union between Rivka and Yitzchak and how it is described in the Chumash. They have very much in common. We need to remember, when we consider the nevuah that Sarah and Avram received in the beginning of Vayera, that this prophecy regarding the fact that they would have a child is not the first time that they have heard this news. They have already heard the news that they will receive a child, and his name would be Yitzchak, in the end of Parshas Lech Lecha. And we need to look at the words there very carefully, because we see that they are, the way this prophecy, the way Yitzchak's birth is foretold, is very, very different in the end of Lech Lecha than it is in the beginning of Vayera. So, for example, if you look at Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Yudzayin, Pasuk Tesvav. There are three examples here that are all similar, in which it is very clear to us that the nevuah here is primarily to Avraham. For example, Perek Tesvav. Vayomer Lukim al Avraham, Sarai Ishtacha lo tikres Shema Sarai. Her name will not be Sarai, ki Sara Shema. Even though she is, I'm sure, hearing this nevuah, receiving it with him, Avraham is being spoken to. Now look at the next words. Ubeirach Theosa, I will bless her. Vagam nasati mimena lecha ben. I've given through her to you a child. So whose child is this? Avraham's. Nasati lecha ben. I've given to you a child. Obviously, Sarah is involved, but the way the nevuah is phrased, it's a you, Avraham, someone to carry on your work. It's your heir. You already have a child. Here's the next child, and it's for you, a son. Now, this type of thing is repeated. If you look at Pasuk Yotes, Vayomer Lukim, after he begged that Yishmael shall be included in what would be considered Avraham's future, of the line of Avraham, Zera Avraham, he begs for Yishmael, but Hashem says, but I'm sorry, Avram, Aval Sara Ishtecha Yoledes Lecha Ben, but Sara, your wife, will give birth for you a child. This will be your child. And his name will be Yitzchak. But don't worry, I will make Yishmael a great nation. But Pasuk Chavalef, V'esbrisi akim es Yitzchak, but my covenant will only be associated with Yitzchak. Asher teled lecha Sarah. That Sarah will give birth for you. L'moed hazeh v'shana acheres. At this time in another year. So we are aware that A, they know about this child, and the way it's described is lecha ben. It's for you from her. When we turn to Parshas Vayera, we see a whole different type of language, which makes us realize that something else is going on here. And the language is Vayomer Pasuk Yud Perek Yud Ches. Vayomer Shuv Ashuv Elecha. I will certainly return to you. Ke'es chaya, at the time of life, which is some type of ambiguous phrase. We've discussed this. And look at the next words. Vihine ben lesara. And behold, there Sarah has a child. Now, there's no real words here that are descriptive of Hashem's action. In other words, it's not, I will give Sarah a child for you. That whole language is not employed this time. And it's Hine Ben Lasara, a surprise. And it's associated entirely with Sarah. It's no longer Vinasati Mimena Lecha Ben. So we've noticed this difference. We've asked many questions. Why? What is the significance of Vayomer, where is Sarah? She's in the Yohel. Who is speaking here? Shuv Ashuv Elecha. I will certainly return to you. Is it the Malach? The Malach can promise that he'll be doing something in the future. What is Keis Chaya? What does it mean, Sarah Shomas Pesach HaOhel? Why is that significant? And notice, in the beginning of Vayera, who else is sitting at the Pesach HaOhel? Avraham, at what point, what happens at the Pesach HaOhel? That's where the Malachim come. And it's very significant, by the way, to remember that according to the Rambam, the fact that he's sitting at the Pesach HaOhel, it tells us that, and there at that point he sees the three Malachim. Rambam tells us this entire episode is a Nevuah. Rambam says these Malachim, this was a Nevuah, there were no real people and they didn't really eat. This entire thing was a vision. And his vision happened to Pesach HaOhel, and Sar is hearing the Nevuah in the Nevuah, Pesach HaOhel, and there must be significance. V'hu acharav, we pointed out that that's a fragment of a sentence, doesn't seem to fit in. She is listening, Pesach HaOhel, the opening of the tent, and he is after him. We need some way to read those words. And then she laughs, and it seems to be that her laughter is something that Hashem does, looks down on, in a sense, and chastises, whereas Avraham laughed when he heard the news, and that seems to pass by without any criticism. What is the difference between her laughter and his laughter? And then, of course, we delved into these questions, and we presented a medrash that helps us understand that what is happening here is not what meets the eye necessarily, not just what we hear on the surface. We talked about that the pasuk Yudalit Hayipale Mehashem Davar. That is a hint. That word Hayipale is a hint. It helps us find the key to the whole story. Also, the word Ohel is a hint. Those are very significant words. Always keep in mind when you encounter Ohel in certain situations that seem to be speaking about an encounter with the higher realms, where Ohel has deeper meanings, and so does Pele. Pele always is about the union of the neshama and the guf, and we spend time speaking about Asher Yatzar, Hamafli La'asos. Whenever we discuss the body, and here Chazal found it fitting that when we talk about the most basic behavior of the body, that's the most indelicate to discuss, the most unappealing, the excretory system. Here we invoke the Kisei HaKavod to bring home the idea that the physical, the most physical of the physical, and the most sublime of the spiritual are united together in one person, and that is what we mean when we say Pele. Strange bedfellows. They don't have much in common. And yet the neshama lives in the guf. And when the neshama lives in the guf, it has a responsibility. And we know this as Jews. This is what everything we learn about. This is the core of our ideology. The neshama and the guf must be together. They're a shidduch. And the dominant force is meant to be the neshama. And the guf is meant to comply with the needs and the wants, the truths that the neshama is aware of. And the neshama is meant to animate the body, so that the behavior of the body in thought, speech, and action all reflects the will of the neshama, which is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how Hashem's personality, so to speak, how the nature and the will of God finds itself in us and drives us to behave in the same way. The neshama pushes us to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu if we just listen to it. And so ideally a body, which is just part of is how we find our way through this physical world, and everything we build and surround ourselves with is meant to express the neshama that lives in us. The Pele is about the union of the neshama and the body. It's a very hard shidduch for many people to keep together. Sometimes the body overwhelms the neshama is in danger. And rarely do we see a case where the neshama overwhelms the body. That's very, very rare. But that's the case we are discussing here. Now, that word Pele, the Medrash, we read a Medrash from Zohar Chadash last week, which explains the following, Amar, and defines this whole Nevuah to Sarah, which is about Yitzchak, is more than just about Yitzchak. We are not speaking only about Yitzchak here. We are speaking about who Yitzchak will be for the Jewish people. Yitzchak is for us the guarantor of Tchias HaMesim. Yitzchak and Tchias HaMesim go together. A, his mother experienced a form of Tchiyas HaMeisim in being rejuvenated. He lived through an experience which is considered Tchiyas HaMeisim. In that, he was put on the Akedah. His neshama, parcha neshama, nishmaso, his neshama was basically given away. He gave himself up in spirit, in his mind, in his heart, with all his kavanas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't technically shechted, because God hates human sacrifice, but in the world of machshava, in the world of kavana, of intentions, he absolutely, positively gave up his life, and he was shechted. The proof is that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we fall back upon the zechus of Yitzchak, and we ask Hashem to remember us, and we learn that Hashem doesn't need to remember Yitzchak and his achievements of self-sacrifice, because what should he remember? Afro shel Yitzchak tzabur al ha'akedah. The ashes of Yitzchak are still sitting there, piled up on the Akedah. So Hashem has them in front of him. He doesn't need to remember anything. They're right there. Now Yitzchak wasn't killed, so why are his ashes on the Akedah? Yes, in the world of Machshava, in the world of Kavana, he was totally sacrificed to God, and in God's mind, in Hashem's mind, he was, and his ashes are on the Akedah. And then when he received life again, that is an experience of Tchiyas HaMeisim. By the way, it's interesting, he was blind later in life. The reason he was blind, Chazal says, because at that moment when he was on the Akedah and he gave up his life, he saw the Shechina, and it is too much for a human eye to receive that type of spiritual intensity of the spiritual power of the seeing the Shechina, whatever that means, and it blinded him. Now we know from a Medrash in Naso on Pasuk in Shemos, Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem was giving him the second Luchos, at that time, he said to Hashem one request, Horeini na drachecha, show me your ways. He wanted to understand Tzadik v'ralo. And Hashem answered him, Lo yirani ha'adam v'chai, no human being can see me and live. I can't show you who I really am here. And from there we learn that the Medrash tells us, Lo yirani ha'adam v'chai, no person can see me and live. Nobody can see God while they're living. But at the moment of the Petira, everybody sees the Shechina. When they're dying, they do see the Shechina, but not when they're living. That's the Medrash says. Every neshama sees the Shechina at the moment that it leaves the guf. And by the way, that's what makes it leave the guf. It sees the Shechina and it's drawn to it because it's its source, it's its shoresh. It is magnetically pulled to the Shechina. So it leaves the body at that moment. Tzadikim and Rishayim, everybody's drawn back towards the Shechina. So here, the fact that he saw the Shechina and his eyes were blinded means that his neshama left him. This is an act, an experience of Tchiyas HaMeisim. And we said that the second bracha in Shmoneh Esrei is Yitzchak's bracha, which is the bracha of Mechaya Meisim. And we said that when the Jewish people will experience a rejuvenation at the end of days, where we will be once more be brought back here and be strengthened and be find ourselves young again, our nation starting over, the utopian era that we're all waiting for, we say, Az Yemale Sechok Pinu. Then we will fully laugh. That's also Yitzchak. Yitzchak is about that. So when this Medrash we read from the Zohar Chadash tells us that what's happening here is Sarah is being told that with the birth of Yitzchak, there's something more going on. We are introducing a new concept, and it will be expressed through your child, the concept of Tchiyas HaMeisim. You can be sure that this child you're producing not only will carry on your legacy now, but he guarantees for your children forever that there will be Tchiyas HaMeisim, not just for the tzaddikim on an individual basis. The nation as a whole will never die, no matter how old they get, how weak they get, how dried out and disintegrated they get, like a body rotting in the dirt. They will live again. There is no death for Klal Yisrael. It's an impossibility, and it's taken a long time for the nations to realize that there is no death for Klal Yisrael. And unfortunately, it's ironic The only way to really prove that is that they have to use all of their resources, all of the time, to annihilate us completely and fail for them to realize that there is no death for Klal Yisrael. So this Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Amar hayipale me'Hashem davar, quoting from this pasuk, lamoed. Mahu moed, also hayadua etzli, lahachayos mesim. There is a moed, there is a time that only I know. The Nevi'im knew nothing about Tchiyas HaMesim. They knew it would happen, but they couldn't prophesy about the nature of Tchiyas HaMesim. We say regarding that, Ayin lo rata, no eye has ever seen it, not even the Nevi'im. It remains exclusively the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's His. And He says, I'm speaking about that Moed, and I'm telling you that their Moed will come, Ula Sara Ben, and Sara will have a young child, which means, in code language, she will be young again, like a three-year-old. She will herself experience it. And then we read the Medrash, the Ribbono Shel Olam says to the Neshama, go and tell your guf that I'm going to resurrect it. I'm going to give it life again. And the Neshama looks at the guf that's down in the earth. The Neshama's up in Shemayim and says, it's disintegrated. It's already been eaten by dust. He explains here, Buhumeshiv, the Neshama answers, Achare Balosi, Haisa Li Edna, which is her words, Achare Balosi Ba'afre, after I'm swallowed up by the dirt, Veshachanti Ba'adama, and I'm sleeping in the earth, Ba'achal Basarai Rima, and my flesh has been eaten by worms already, Tehieli Chidush, I'll have a rejuvenation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer L'Neshama, and the Hashem answers the Neshama, Hayipale Hashem Devar. Can Hashem not reunite a body and a Neshama? But the Neshama and the Guf, it's difficult to accept. It goes against logic. It goes against our experience. It brings about a tzchok, an incredulous type of laugh. Could it be? It's not something we can assimilate because we haven't experienced it, and it's beyond us. It's in the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. So we said, the way to read these psukim, this is all type of like on a deeper level. The Nevuah is not about Sarah particularly and Yitzchak, but about the Neshama and the Guf being promised that there will be a Tchiyas HaMesim. And the knowledge, the recognition that it's hard to accept such a thing, it seems like we're getting further and further away, we're getting weaker and weaker as a nation, and this should be the beginning of our rejuvenation. That's not how things go. Things go from A to B to C to D, and this is going to A to, you know, all the way to the end, and then instead of getting to the end, you all of a sudden you're at the beginning. You're actually counting backwards, and it's so here the way this is to be read, I believe, that the last nevuah in Lech Lecha, that is a nevuah that Avram will have an heir. The way the pshat is read, and Sarah will bear Avram this heir who will carry on the work of Avram himself to build a nation. But this nevuah is about Tchiyas HaMesim. Now, who is Sarah in this nevuah? Where is Sarah, your wife? Hine ba'ohel. Sarah is the neshama. The ohel, we explained, is the guf. We read a Rambam, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe by Har Sinai, tell them all, Shavu lachem l'ohalechem, you all go back to your tents, but Moshe, you stay here with me. Ho amod imadi, you stay here with me. And Rambam says there, they all went back to their tents, that's the needs of their body that's called their ohel harishon, their first tent. But Moshe never returned to his ohel harishon, to the needs of his body. He lived in a different level where the neshama really didn't, the neshama was more in the olam haruchnius than it really was attached to the olam hagashmius. And he went back to an ohel, but it was the ohel moed, and there he stayed on a regular basis, which no one ever did. Kohanim came and went, they did the avodah and they left, but Moshe stayed there. He lived in a different type of dimension. There's no other model like Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Ohel HaRishon is the Guf. And there are many, many, many examples of how the Ohel represents the Guf. Many. So here's what happened. Where is Sarah? Hashem is saying, Sarah is in the Ohel. The Neshama, which is a female word, is in the Ohel, is in the Guf. Go tell Sarah, I will come back. But Oshuve Lecho, the Medrash says, it doesn't mean I will return to you. I will return your body to you. Go tell the neshama, I will return your body to you. V'sara Shomas, she's listening, the neshama is listening, Pesach HaOhel. At that point of the end of the Ohel, where the neshama is standing really at the border between the physical and the spiritual, which makes sense. Avram was also Pesach HaOhel, at the border of the physical, when he received the Nevuah. So that's Pesach HaOhel. So she's listening to the Pesach HaOhel. She's standing, the neshama is hearing words of Nevuah, the barrier, so to speak, at the beyond, the almost at the limits of the guf, and says, I will return to you your body, and you will be young again, it will be rejuvenated again. And she says, now that I'm old, Acharei Balosi, and I've been swallowed up, will I have Edna? Now, Edna sounds a lot like Eden, right? Gan Eden. And Haisali Edna, and Hashem says, Hayipalem Hashem Davar. Now, notice this. Why does there have to be Tchiyas HaMesim? Simple question. Because we die. And we haven't finished our work here. Right? We die, and the body has done many mitzvahs, and the reward is entirely spiritual. The body is physical. The reward is spiritual. What about a body that dies on Mesiras Nefesh? Does the body perhaps need some type of schar? There needs to be Tchiyas HaMesim for many reasons, but primarily because we die in an unfinished state. Why do we die? Adam. Right. Who is blamed for bringing death into the world? Adam, but really Chava. Really Chava, right? She was really, that's why we light the Havdalah candle. She closed the light, so to speak. Now, everybody knows, we've learned this a million times, that the avoda of the mothers was to be misaken the sin of Adam and Chava. She brought in Misa, Sarah is the first of the Imos, and she succeeds in bringing Tchiyas HaMesim. And why Sarah? Because what Chava did by eating from the Eitz Hadas is she created a huge gap between the neshama, so to speak, and the guf. That's why all of a sudden they were embarrassed. Remember that? Because now their guf and their neshama had a disconnect. She created a disconnect between the neshama and the guf. They didn't live together in harmony. She became now aware that her body had its own drives, the neshama had its own drives, that made her embarrassed, that the difference between the two. Well, what did Sarah succeed in doing? Through the Ohel and the Nisim in the Ohel, as you know, the Anan, the Challah, and the candle that was lit from Erev Shabbos, the bread that was fresh all week, and the Anan of Shechina that dwelled upon the tent. These represent the three basic mitzvahs, Challah, Ner Shabbos, Taras HaMashpacha. They represent the basic endeavors in life, the material, the intellectual, and the emotional, right? The material is the bread, the intellectual is the light, the emotional and spiritual is the Taras HaMashpacha, that part of our life. She succeeded in having a complete harmonious blend between the material and the spiritual, the neshama and the guf. Sarah receives this nevuah because she makes the world worthy of Tchiyas HaMesim, because in her life, on this world, she brought the neshama and the guf together, Pele, Mafli Lasos. She made them harmonious. And therefore, when the body is in harmony with the neshama, when it's in sync with the neshama, when it's not tainted by all of the sins that could be associated with the body, then the neshama, the body should live again. The body should live. It was meant to live as long as the neshama lived. So here comes this nevuah to Sarah, specifically to Sarah. And she is bearing a child that will experience Tchiyas HaMesim. Now, we move on to investigate for a moment that Akedah, that story of his Tchiyas HaMesim. We see something very, very strange. Look at the end of Vayera. After the Malach stops him, Perek Chaf Beis 22. Psukim Yud Ches, Yud Tes, Hashem blesses him. Your children will be blessed. Through your children, all the nations of the world will be blessed because you listen to my voice. Look at Pasuk 19. Vayoshav Avraham El Na'arav. What's missing?
Yitzchak.
The Ishbitzer says that, and we will take this further, Vayoshav Avram El Narav, Vayitzchak Heichanhu, and where is Yitzchak? Here's what the Medrash HaGadol says, Amar of Elazar, Ben Padas, Afal Pi Shalom Meis Yitzchak, although Yitzchak didn't actually die, Male Alav HaKosav Ki'ilu Meis. The Kosav considers it, the Torah considers it like he died. Va'afro mutal al gabe ha-mizbeach, and his ashes are sitting on the mizbeach, which is forever as a chus for us. Here's another one, Medrash HaGadol. V'yitzchak heichan hu? Where is Yitzchak? Ela shechniso HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'gan Eden. Hashem brought him into Gan Eden. V'yashav shamba shalosh shonim. And he sat in Gan Eden 3 years.
This
is the Medrash HaGadol. The Torah Shlema is a sefer, a huge set, many, many volumes are of Kasher. We did this before there were computers. Every Medrash on every Pasuk. Anyway, so this is an established idea in a theoretical sense. He never came off the Akedah. He went into Gan Eden and stayed there for 3 years. What does that mean? And when does he come out of Gan Eden? What is the episode, what is the story that describes his emerging from Gan Eden, and is his being in Gan Eden a good place for him? This is not like Moshe. This is a different story. Yitzchak represents something else. Yitzchak being in Gan Eden is a story of a person who had come to a point of such utter dedication and sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was able to truly experience and feel that the urges and the needs and the drives of his body, they were all of no significance. The only thing that mattered was his spirit, is the health of his spirit, to the point that he was neglecting, disinterested, disconnected from the needs of his body. Now, there are many cultures on earth that promote this, that see this as an ideal, to try to avoid as much as possible and destroy any drives of the body might impose upon us, might push us, any direction the body might push us. There are cultures where they promote asceticism. No sleep, no talking, no marrying, barely any clothes, even harming the body, causing pain to the body to try to eliminate our connection to our body. This is alive and well in many cultures. But in our culture, this is not considered a good thing. He was disconnected from this world. He was in Gan Eden. That's not a good thing for a person that's meant to have an impact on this world, have children, change the world. But there's no way to bring him out. There's no one there to reconnect his neshama to his guf. There's no one there. Sarah, his mother, who was able to be in the ohel, aye Sarah, hine ba ohel, the neshama in the guf, in perfect harmony, bringing beauty to the world, she's no longer there. So here's when the first time we hear about Yitzchak after the Akedah is 3 years later. Turn to Perek Chav Dalet, Pasuk Samach Beis. Eliezer is on his way back with Rivka. Eliezer becomes very significant. We will soon speak about Eliezer. Where is Yitzchak when Eliezer is returning with Rivka, the Balas Chesed, which is critical? It's already been established to us that she is the paradigm of Chesed. By the way, the three-year-old Medrash. My grandfather always taught us that when Midrashim seem strange, they generally are not meant to be taken literally. He has a beautiful piece where he explains she wasn't three. It doesn't make any sense that she was three. She was 12 years old at the time of the Akedah, which is when Sarah died. We know that she received the powers of the neshama of Sarah, the kochot ha-neshama or the neshama of Sarah, and it was 3 years that she had the neshama of Sarah when she married Yitzchak, which means she was 15, but she was Sarah, so to speak, for 3 years. She had those special kochos for 3 years. In any case, and it's not just his chiddush, it is supported by Midrashim that seem to explain that also. So where is Yitzchak? Look at these words very carefully. Now, we've spoken about this concept before, but we are going to add new layers. The Yitzchak ba mibo ve'er l'chai ro'i. Samach Beis. In Pasuk Chafik, Perek Abdalad, Pasuk Samach Beis. The Yitzchak ba, and Yitzchak was coming, from coming to the well of the living one who sees. Now, what does that mean? He was coming from the well of the seeing one. So the Ishbitzer says here, okay, that he never really made it to the well, to the spring of where he could draw his life, where he could really see. Remember we said about his eyes? He saw the Shekhinah and he disconnected. He never really arrived at the well of living waters. He never was able to drink fully from the living waters of this world, so to speak, to re-engage in the physical world, to drink of the waters that would give him life, the waters that are here represented by physical life. He was always coming. He was coming there, but he never got there. V'hu yoshev be'eretz ha-negev, and where did he dwell? In the Negev, and he says here, Negev minugav mikol chemda. Dried out, wrung out from any desire for the physical. Completely dried out, minugav. There was nothing in him that yearned for anything that a normal person, normal physical person, cares about or wants or tries to accomplish. He's entirely removed. Vayetze Yitzchak. Here is the Medrash. Meheichan yatza, megan Eden. Where did he come out from now? He came out of Gan Eden. Why did he come out? Came out of that trance, so to speak. That place of total ruchnius. Came out lasua basadeh, and we will speak about the word lasuach. The word lasuach has to be explained very carefully. In order to understand lasuach, I'm going to tell you gematria. Now, this is a real gematria, and Rav Tzadok HaKohen brings this down. This is one of the scary gematrias, which are a part of the ramazim embedded in under the pshat of the psukim. The gematria of siach is siach. What is the gematria of siach? Siach. 318. Now, keep this in mind. We're going to read a gemara. It's a weird gemara. It's whenever the gemara says things that just don't seem to make any sense, you know they're trying to tell us something, but they don't write in essay form. That's why you need a mesorah to learn Gemara. You can't just pick up a book and figure out what's going on. By the way, remind me to tell you something about learning Gemara afterwards. Very interesting. Here is a story in the Gemara. Okay? There was a certain... Okay, this is from Sukkah. Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. I'm reading to you in English. There was a certain elderly lady who came before Rav Nachman and said to him, the Reish Galusa, who's like the chief rabbi, and all the rabbis of the Reish Galusa's house have been sitting in a stolen sukkah. For its wood was stolen from me. They didn't know it, but they had bought stolen wood, and their whole sukkah is stolen. She screamed, demanding that they dismantle the sukkah and give her back her wood. Rav Nachman did not pay attention to her. So she said to him, a woman whose father had 318 servants is screaming before you, and you don't listen to me? Okay. Now, this is a woman in the time of the Reish Galusa, which is after the Chorban Bayis Sheni. Who is she referring to about her father with 318 servants? Avram. Who? What is this 318 servants thing with Avraham, remember? The war. Remember it says that the war of the four kings and the five kings? It says he went with his 318 servants, and what does Rashi tell us there? That was Eliezer. Now, what is the gematria of Eliezer's name? 318. Why is she making reference to the fact that her father, which is Avraham, had 318 servants, which is synonymous with Eliezer, and therefore they have to give back the sukkah? Okay? What does this have to do with anything? So they say to her, no, you don't have to, you can't get the wood back because you're entitled only to the money, the value of the wood. Now, this is a halacha in Hashavas Aveda. Here's the halacha. When a person loses something, or something is stolen, or there's a flood, or whatever, or there's a war, and things are lost, okay? Many, many different cases. If the person is mityaesh, which means gives up hope, then you don't have to return that item to the person, but you do have to return the monetary value. So they're saying to her, you gave up hope, so we don't have to return to you the wood itself, but we'll pay you the money of the wood. That's the halacha. Now she's saying, but my father had 318 servants. I want the wood, not the money, which means I didn't give up hope. So what does have to do with Eliezer, Siach, Yiyush? What does this all have to do with each other? This is Rav Tzadok HaKohen. We're not done. What is the gematria of Yiyush? Yud, Aleph, Vav, Shin. 317. What is Eliezer and Siach? 318. 317 is Yiyush, hopelessness, giving up hope. 318 is one degree above that, which means almost having given up completely, complete hope, but not totally. Still hanging on by a thread that there's hope. The concept of siach, that type of tefillah, there's a type of tefillah which is unlike all the other kinds of tefillah. There's a kind of tefillah called siach. Sicha. And that type of tefillah represents a person that is almost completely lost. They barely have any strength. They're hanging on by their fingertips. They could barely pray. Their prayer simply is, if you don't help me now, then there's no, I'm lost completely. They can't even formulate the words of what they need to ask for. All they can manage to say is, if not now, then never. This is the end. This is it. There's one degree before hopelessness. She's saying, my father had 318 servants. That's Eliezer. Now, what does Eliezer have to do with this? Avram went to war against, he was fighting for the five kings against the four who were stronger. There was no hope that he would win, but this is the Midah of Avraham, that when it seems that it's hopeless, he has not given up hope. Who else named their child Eliezer? In the Chumash. Moshe. Why did he name his child Eliezer? Look in Shemos Perek Yudches, Pasuk Dalet. Why did he name his son Eliezer? Perek Yudches 18, Pasuk Dalet. Ki Eloke Avi Be'ezri, the God of my father who came to my salvation, V'yatzileni Micherev Paro, and he saved me from the sword of Paro. What does Rashi say? Remember the famous Medrash? Paro tried to cut his head off, and at the last second, his neck turned to stone, whatever that means. It means Paro couldn't succeed. At the last second, Hashem saved him. So what did he name his child? Eliezer, Gematria 318. One degree above Yish. So here's Yitzchak. Okay? Yitzchak, the Yetzeh Yitzchak, Mehechan Yatzeh, where did he come out of? He came out of Gan Eden. He came out of a state of non-existence, disconnection from this world, total disinterest in this world, wrung out, no desires, nothing. This world had no pull on him. He would be happily let his neshama leave his guf, enter Gan Eden alive, and stay there forever. What did he come out to do? Lasuach basadeh, to pray once more. This is like his last prayer. If Hashem doesn't somehow bring his neshama back into his guf now, then he has no ability to do it himself. He will enter the spheres of Gan Eden and be disconnected from his life. There is nothing connecting him anymore to the world, the life in this world. And that's not what it's meant to be for, certainly for Yitzchak. That's the result of his death on the Akedah. He needs a Tchiyas HaMesim again. Yitzchak experiences two Tchiyas HaMesim, stories in his life. One is physically getting his life back on the Akedah, and one is in his head, in his spirit, being brought back together with his body, wanting to live, wanting to care about the world and what happens to the world. So he comes out of Gan Eden to Lasuach Basada. By the way, proof that this is what Siach means. What do we say in Ashrei? For the hay letter. What do we say for hay? Hadar Kavod Hodecha V'divrei Nifla'osecha Asicha. What's the shorish of Nifla'os? Pele. I will talk about the reunion, the neshama and the guf, when there's at the end. Also, Eov says, Asicha b'mar nafshi, in the bitterness of my heart, where I can't take it anymore, my soul, then I'll pray in the language of Sicha. Also, in Tehillim, Ayin Zayin, Pasuk Dalid, this is a perek. If you look at Ayin Zayin, go home and look at it. It's a perek where David basically says, we can't hold on anymore. We can't take it anymore. It's Hashem, you have to, our distress is overwhelming. We remember how good it was in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. We remember what we used to have, and there's nothing left. It's a cry of, this is a perek about desperation. And in Pasuk Dalet, he says, Ezkara, I remember Elokim, what I used to have, the Maya, and I moan, Asicha, I staven with that Asicha, I barely express my needs. I say, this is the end. V'tis atef ruchi, and my ruach is faint. I can't hold on anymore. That is the type of tefillah of Siach. He comes out to Siach, to Davin. What are the next words? Lifnos erev, before the night, before the day is over. And by the way, he's mesaken, mitaken tefillat mincha. Mincha is when the day is done. It's the end. The next stage is night. It's over. This is the last moments to save himself. Vayisa einav, he lifts up his eyes. Vayar, and what does he see? Vehine gemalim ba'im. And what is the shorish of gemalim? Gomel, as in gomel chesed. Now who's coming? Rivka. What we're being told here is that what saves him, what will give him back his life, certainly is Rivka, as we'll see in the next pasuk. She gives birth to him, so to speak, one more time. She puts his neshama and his guf back together, and it's through chesed. Chesed is how human beings, in a most visceral way, reach out to other human beings and make this life better for them and give them hope and make them want to live. That's really what chesed is. And it's pervasive. All human beings practically around the world in some way or another have a feeling in them, even in perverted and weird, distorted ways, that they're going to do a chesed, give somebody hope. So here, this is we are told here that his salvation is on the way. Rivka lifts up her eyes, v'teres Yitzchak, v'tipol me'al hagamal, and she falls off the camel, and she says, who is this person? She covers her eyes, and it says that she covers her eyes with her scarf. By the way, it says here that the reason she couldn't look at him is not sneas. Nobody really says that. She couldn't look at him because what she saw here was a human being that was almost entirely ruchnias, like Moshe by the snare. She was encountering something of such an intensity she had never experienced before. In fact, Rashi says she was astonished. She was absolutely astonished at what she saw. She had no words for it. And she couldn't look at it. Now, here's the Medrash says here, very interestingly enough, and I won't go into the whole story, but Yitzchak yatsa migan Eden chai. Yitzchak came out of Gan Eden alive. Ve'Eliezer nichnas legan Eden chai. And Eliezer went into Gan Eden chai. He was very great. Now what happens when Yitzchak takes Rivka? These are the words we have to analyze carefully. Okay, Vayiviyaha Yitzchak ha'ohela. Now remember, he's not just bringing Rivka into the tent. What is happening here? His neshama is re-engaging with his body. And he brought her into the tent. Who's her? Vayiviyaha. A neshama shelo. His neshama. He brought her. It's always feminine. Vayiviyaha. He brought her, his neshama, ha'ohela, back into the tent. Rambam told us what the tent means. It's the guf. Back into the tzarchei haguf. And then it says, Sarah Imo. It's a sentence fragment. He brought her into the tent, Sarah Imo. So everybody wants to add a little shell. He brought her into the tent of Sarah, but that's not what Rashi says. He brought her into the tent, and behold, she was like Sarah, his mother. Why was she Sarah, his mother? So the Rashi tells us, he saw that because of Rivka, all the Nisim came back. She did the same thing Sarah could do. She had Sarah's kochos, the neshama of Sarah, however you want to say it. All the Nisim came back. The dough, the light, the cloud, the achnasas orachim, it all came back. Sarah, his mother, what she had achieved, was now alive again in Rivka. He saw this union of the physical and the spiritual, the material, this world and all its endeavors, all the pursuits of this world, the material which is the bread, the intellectual which is the light, and the taras hamishpacha, the emotional life of a person, the psychological life of a person, all of this dedicated to the ruchnius, the neshama and the guf are in harmony. So she is Sarah, his mother. Vayikach es Rivka vatilo leisha. He takes her as a wife. Vayaveh, and he loves her. And look at the last words of Vayinachem Yitzchak acharei imo. He finally has comfort since his mother died. He's been, so to speak, in Gan Eden with his mother. But he's not meant to stay there with his mother. He has to depart from there, re-enter this world. He needs someone to do this for him, to reunite his neshama and his guf. This is the role of Rivka through chesed, to give him a reason to live, to bring back all the hopes and the drives and the and not only that, but the mission that he has to accomplish. And here he is comforted in the fact that Sarah is no longer here because Rivka is Sarah. So he really has, in a sense, two mothers. He's Sarah's his mother, and Rivka gives birth to him, in a sense, one more time. She gives him life again. This is Rivka's role. So this whole story of Tchiyas HaMesim is expressed through Sarah, Rivka, Yitzchak, who describes it for us and lives through it for us. But what we're being told here is and Eliezer, of course, representing not giving up. What we're being told here is that it's the natural state of a human being to look around, certainly the Jewish people, at our history, at the lives of a human being, and at a certain point, there are many human beings on earth that get to a stage, and the Jewish people too, where they say, Yitzchak, Ketzchai, it's the end, Yitzchak's name is Ketzchai, it's the end of my interest in living. The reason that 80% of the Jewish people are assimilating and marrying out is because they can't live the life that is the destiny of the Jewish people with all of the attempts against us, with all of the hatred against us, with all of the torture that we've gone through as a nation, when everybody tries to experiment with annihilating us. And we here stand as proof that it's not possible. But for most people, they don't want to live anymore. They've had enough with this world. At a certain point when people get older, they're not interested. There is a natural human tendency to yish, to giving up when things get very hard, and to happily moving into the next dimension and leaving it all behind. And not only individually, as he said, but as a nation. But that is not, as we know, what Hashem will allow us to do. He always gives us back life. There's always some people who find themselves arising from the ashes. And what do they do again? They have energy. They want to live again. They build hospitals and they build yeshivas. They're just a small core, but they bring the nation back to life with gemilas chasadim. There are many of us, I'm sure, whose grandparents did exactly this. Built yeshivas after the Holocaust, built hospitals, went around trying to start over in this country and in other countries. They will not allow the rest of the people to fall into yish. And they extend themselves through gemilas chasadim. And then the nation comes back to life. This koach is expressed through Sarah and Rivka. It seems to be also, clearly since it's expressed through the women, that the women are uniquely suited not to give up hope, to see that others are at the stage of giving up hope, and then to encourage them. Such as, for example, Bizchus Nashim Tzidkanios Nigalu Mimitzrayim, same story, because of the righteous women in Mitzrayim. Bizchus Nashim Tzidkanios Asidin Lehitka'el, we will in the future be redeemed. So what we're hearing about here, Sarah and Avraham are guaranteed in the very beginning, when we're just infants, that there will never be an end to the Jewish people. At the lowest moment, at the moment of Yish, there's always the last cry called Sicha that will be heard, and the energy of the Gemilas Chesed, of the love, of the encouragement, will restore us. And those people who are the players, who are the ones who come back and start over and do the Gemilas Chasadim, they are they're the ones who are Mechaya Mason. They give back life to the Jewish nation. People can do that on a large scale. People can do it on an individual scale. And now everybody has know somebody who gets to a point of Yish and can barely hang on anymore. So it's the job of everybody else to not allow that to happen. Because sometimes we're sympathetic and say, they're right, let them go. I mean, how much can a person bear? Let it be over for them from the tzaras they've went through. Okay? That's not our job. Our job is to encourage. There's something to gain from every moment. From even if the next years or decades have to be lived out with a deep sense of desperation or a sadness inside the person and a disinterest anymore in trying and caring. Our job is not that. It's to bring the neshama back to the guf. There's still more work to do. There's a reason to live. That's the job of a woman. It's a job to keep the neshama and the guf together. And it comes up all the time. We always face this. And we know that the greatest ones, our ancestors, faced this and succeeded. That's our lot. We can't escape the difficulties, but we can bring back the encouragement. Okay, everyone. Have a wonderful week. And I want to tell you something about the Gemara. This has nothing to do with our shir, but pick up. Somebody gave me a copy of the Mishpacha magazine this month. I never really read Mishpacha, but it is the funniest thing. All over Korea and Japan, 2 hours a week, in the high schools, the kids are learning Gemara. Go read about it. It's crazy. Japanese and Korean.